the man I met seemed pretty normal. He was there. He knocked on the door of a hotel room. I was in Toronto at the time. And
June 6, 1998, right?
Right. I had been on an author tour, a long author tour, for the book called Confirmation. And I had had dinner and in the room and had gone to sleep. And the tray was still on the little desk in the room that, with the dinner things on it. There came a knock at the door, and I assumed it was room service. I didn't realize how long I'd actually been asleep, and I went over and opened the door. And this guy came in, and he looked like he was in his 70s, and he was not unusual looking. I've described him in different ways, but basically he was a short but not terribly short person, and he was maybe 5'5" to 5'8", I would say. He was rather slightly built. He didn't look at all threatening, in other words. My initial reaction, after some confusion about the dinner tray, was to try to get him out, because, you know, you'd think that anybody who would pop into your room in the middle of the night is not going to be good news.
And you've had some adventures like that on book tours, I know.
Oh, yeah. I had a lady who apparently paid off some idiot in a hotel in Chicago to get into my room, and I came in exhausted after a late night radio or television show, I forget which. And I was taking off my clothes and suddenly realized there was another person in the room. Apparently she'd stepped back into the closet while I walked in. And, you know, I got her out easily enough, but it was really upsetting, and it could have been dangerous. I mean, you just don't know what might happen in a moment like that.
You've got groupies.
Well, I didn't get a good enough look at her to know whether she was a groupie or somebody. I just don't know what it was about, but I got her out of there. That's the end of the story. And I left that hotel that morning and never went back. I went to another hotel. So it had happened before, and yeah, I was aware of that. And I had let this guy in, but then he started talking, and it was interesting. I had to admit, he said some things that I had never heard before. And, you know, he said a few things at first that I really didn't notice much, and I'm pretty sure I remembered what they were, a couple of sentences.
But you asked him, hey, who are you, right?
Well, not at first. No, I didn't. Initially, I thought he was the room service waiter, and then he started in with these philosophical statements, and I sort of said, I asked him, you know, I responded to them because they were unusual enough to sort of make me stop. I did not initially ask him who he was. No, I thought he was a fan. I didn't think, you know, I didn't really, his identity wasn't a question. It was obvious that what he was. I mean, you know, there was someone from one of the book signings or something. But then he said something very peculiar about the Holocaust. He said that we were meant to have the ability to leave the planet in mass by now, but we're trapped here because the child who would have been born, who would have understood how gravity works, would have cracked the mystery of gravity, was never born because his parents died in the Holocaust. And I had never heard anything quite like that before. It was a very unusual statement. True or not, I don't know. I reacted to it not that it, you know, with saying, oh my, that's really true, but more how unusual, what an unusual idea. I never heard anyone say anything like that before. It was like he had some kind of inner knowledge of the way the world worked, of a kind that you don't ever come across. And the guy spoke with what I would describe as authority. He had a gentle voice, but a quick voice. And at that point, I started in with the questions, and later on, I did begin to realize as this was going on that you know, I really needed to find out who this was, and I began to question him about himself, and he was very circumspect and not very helpful. He at one point said he was a Canadian, but he didn't pay taxes, which turned out to be the only really good clue I ever got, because Canadians, yes, any Canadian, they have definitely got taxes to pay, and everybody in Canada pays taxes, but not all of the native tribes do. Some of them are exempt from taxation. And I went down that road fairly far after. What happened was that when I woke up the next morning, I had even taken a few notes during the conversation. So first I looked for the notes, and they were there. And, you know, it was obvious. It didn't really occur to me that it hadn't happened. It obviously had happened. But the content of it was so extraordinary, as I remembered it, that I called my wife and I said to her, "Ann, you know, this. I had this very unusual thing happen last night. This man came in," and I explained what had happened, and said, "I'm going to blow this off." You know, she knows me, and I said to her, I'm telling you to not let me do that, because I really do need to write down what this guy said." And, of course, by the time I had gotten home, I figured, oh, I was just some nut. You know, and I told her, forget it. It was ridiculous. She said, no, you called me, you told me this, and don't blow it off. You want to sit down and write these notes out and get a put this together. I started trying to find out more about who he was. I'd asked around about him a little bit before I left the hotel, and I saw the publicist that morning again, and I asked her about it. Him, tried to describe him, couldn't get any rare. But there is a tribe, a very interesting and wonderful tribe in Newfoundland called the Mi'kmaqs. And there is something about them. They have an appearance that would suggest the possibility that they're partly Europeans. And what's interesting is that there is a legend, and there are a few enigmatic ruins in northern Newfoundland that suggest this legend may be true, that John Sinclair, the leader of the Templars in Scotland, at the time that the Templars were destroyed and Jacques de Molay, the Grand Master of the Templars, was killed, actually came to Canada 200 years before Columbus came to America, and founded a colony in Newfoundland, and they might have interbred with these people. They might also have brought extraordinary knowledge of some sort. And I thought maybe that was where it came from, but I couldn't get anywhere. In other words, I couldn't. He didn't look like these people at all. I mean, he looked much more Caucasian. And I didn't get anywhere. That I got involved to an extent with some of the Templars in Canada. There's a Templar masonry still in Canada, and I think they may know this man and may know who he is, but I was never able to pin that down